Hey, good day, everyone. It's We Watch Stuff 82. We're getting to the chase because we got a lot to talk about. I'm Jeremy. On the other end, Shahid. What's going on, man?
Hello, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your days. Hope you're enjoying this winter weather and the Christmas season. And there's been some great things that have dropped since last we talked to you guys.
Yeah, all right. So what do we want to start with?
I'd rather start with one and spend the rest of the time on the other.
Okay. Well, did we... This is stuff we should do off air, I guess, but did we want to talk about any of the DC shows or save that for next week?
I would save that for next week because okay. It deserves to get time, and I want to spend the majority of time on something that we both love.
Yes. Okay, so let's start off with Spider-Man Homecoming. The trailer dropped this week. I always find it funny, and I this isn't a complaint, but do we really need a teaser trailer for a trailer that comes out the next day? And the reason I ask is I watched the teaser trailer, even though I don't think it's necessary. So it works.
There you go. Like, it works. It's feeding the beast. It's for people like us, because there is a subsection of people that will wait till they see trailers on TV or, you know, in the movies. And then there's people that go online, like, can't reload his search engine to see that the trailer drop. I want to see the trailer. Let me dissect the trailer. Let me watch it in slow mo so I can see what's great about it or what's wrong with it. So
true. I don't do that anymore because I found other websites do that for you. there's always the 15 things you missed in the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer, or the 10 things you missed in the Star Trek Beyond, and all this. And I'm like, cool. Thanks for doing that job for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but this time, Amazing Spider-Man. I'm sorry, Spider-Man Homecoming. Next year, 2017. They've already announced that Homecoming 2. I guess they're keeping up with the Homecoming theme, which I thought was kind of strange. Is coming out in 2019.
You know, names change. So
yeah. Well, Okay, so from this trailer, it appears that there's going to be a lot of high school stuff, which is fine. And I almost wonder if the Homecoming, you know, we both know why it's called Homecoming, because Marvel's, you know, it's part of the Marvel Universe. But then also, I'm wondering if there's some sort of, like, Homecoming dance, because, you know, they're not trying to make it a teenage flick, but it was very squarely set in a high school young person's environment.
You know what's hilarious about the whole thing? Because I heard a lot of people complain saying it's too young. It's like Spider-Man, at his, you know, at his very nature, is a young character. Like, now he's old and grown up, but all the Spider-Man that we grew up with, like, started off in high school. And it's funny, like, it's jarring when people see, oh, it's this high school stuff and everything, and they treat him like a kid, and, like, he is a kid. And I know you used to, like, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, like, these grown-ass... Tobey Maguire is 27 when he did the first Spider-Man. This grown-ass man pretending like he just graduated high school. Like, come on now. And I know people are used to, like, grown-ups playing kids, so when you see somebody that's, like, close to age actually doing it, it's jarring. And I think it's the fact that, you know, another Spider-Man, it's the third Spider-Man in memory. But the trailer looked awesome. Like, yeah. It looked fun. You know, like, what you think a Marvel movie would be done, like, presented very well, had its jokes, had its action. You know, a lot of their money, man. Tony Stark, because Robert Downey Jr. equals money. And they did something that I wouldn't have thought would be possible, made the Vulture look badass.
Okay. There's one thing I think you... Maybe you'll have a difference of opinion on this. There was one thing that stood out to me that, and it has to do with the Vulture. It's Michael Keaton. You know, it was rumored before, then it got taken away. Now it's Michael Keaton again. He looked menacing. Like, I know the Vulture is like the old guy in the comics, and then I think didn't they de-age him for a while?
One of his powers was, like, he was able to suck the youth from people to de-age and make himself young. Like, that okay. was a cartoon thing, and I think that was a comic thing.
All right, well, good for him. But for this, and this is something I know in the first, like, every time in a Spider-Man movie, it's never, I'm going to kill you. It's always, I'm going to destroy. And I know it's like a cartoon thing, because they don't want nor do they allow them, you know, company wise, to allow cartoon characters to say, I'm going to kill you. That stood out to me in this preview when, what was it, Michael Keaton just stops and says, and really, you know how they're cut up, so you don't really know the context of it, but says, you know, I'm not going to play with you. If I wanted to, I could kill you.
And, like, just you and, like, your loved ones and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's pure menace right there. And I don't know if that's been around in a Spider-Man movie. I mean, I know that, you know, he had Venom, blah, blah.
The closest that came to it, I want to say, because it's funny, like, Willem Dafoe was scary, but it's more like a horror villain, because just his face and everything about it, like, he played it over the top.
Yeah.
I think Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus, because, like, one line, like, you know, if you don't bring me Spider-Man, I'm going to, you know, pluck the skin off your girlfriend's bones or something like that. And that's the only time, like, you ever had, like, a menacing Spider-Man villain in those movies. But Michael Keaton has gravitas. Like, it's funny where I know people talked about Birdman. Like, you have Batman playing a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
Like, the first, like, basically, like, the first, no, shout out to Adam West, like, the first modern Batman. Like, Michael Keaton has been around the block. Like, you know, he has weight to him. And Marvel does a good job of giving weight to people when they want to. And just the cast is ridiculous. Like, you know, I forgot Bokeem Whitbaum was even in the movie. So he showed up in the trailer. Donald Glover popped up in the trailer. Like, there's a lot of people in this trailer. And speaking of trailers, I know we talked about it a little bit. You remember the big deal people made when Zendaya was cast and people were thinking, like, she may be Mary Jane? And they were all saying, like, she's not white and she's not a redhead and yada, 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 and all that crap.
Yeah, and so that's what I was going to ask you about. I do remember that, so go ahead, go ahead.
So, and then it's come, like they're playing it. She's saying she's not playing Mary Jane. She's playing a girl like Michelle, named Michelle. And they're wondering, like, is this one of these Star Trek Into Darkness where they're playing, she's playing a role, but it's not, you know, shown till the end. But the trailer doesn't give you any space because they're focusing, like, his love interest is Liz Allen, who, guess what? In the comics and the cartoons, has always been white. In this movie, she's black. I haven't heard one complaint. I haven't heard one peek. I haven't heard anything about not our Liz Allen, everything. And it basically proves my point where people only care about race change when it's somebody that they really care about.
I'll add to that that it's somebody they know, because you said that to me the day. I wasn't even joking. I had no idea who that was. I'd never heard of Liz Allen before. And it was funny because it was funny the way you sent the name to me. I looked it up and it auto-corrected the right name and it said her name is commonly misspelled. I'm like, oh, okay.
I think it's A-L-L-A-N or something like that.
A-L-L-A-N, yeah.
Yeah, but, uh-huh.
So, but yeah, so I have no idea who this is. But no, you're right. If it's not a major character, no one cares. And well, all right, let's put it this way. I don't think anybody cares right now. Once I believe, I don't give these people too much credence or credit. But maybe once they discover who it is, maybe that becomes a problem. But I'm still sticking with it's not a major character. They don't care.
But it's funny where people, you know, the people who care are the people who know who every character is. Like, the average person that's going to watch this movie doesn't give a damn. Like, they just want to see Spider-Man, and they just want to see fun stuff. And that's the majority of people that's going to see the movie. The people that download these trailers and break them down like us, they can tell you the shoe size of every Spider-Man character and the blood type of all these comic characters. So they know exactly who Liz Allen is. I haven't heard, and I looked on, and I was surprised. Like, I haven't heard one peep. Matter of fact, I was watching it and didn't even realize who it was. So I saw IMDb, and then somebody made a joke, like, you know, everybody's worried about Mary Jane, and Black Liz Allen slid through right in front of your face, and nobody said anything. And it's like, you know what? That's a good point. It's just like,
well, I got something else for it now. Apparently, Flash Thompson is played by a Hispanic guy.
And Ned Leeds is played by an Asian guy that's basically playing. It's funny, they took a character that was from the Ultimate Marvel Universe. That's basically what that character is, like Miles Morales' best friend. Changed him to Ned Leeds, but kept everything else, which is kind of people. We were throwing people off and getting them upset, saying, oh, that's not really Ned Leeds. That's, I think his name is Genki or something like that. Like, he's a chubby Korean guy that's like Miles Morales' best friend is like, we don't want to call him that, so we'll call him something else. It's like they, you can, you know what? It's a fictional character, and 99% of the time, you can do what you want with it and change it, as long as you get the basis of it. Like, the race shouldn't make a difference for most of these characters.
Yeah. And
it's like, if the role, like you always said, and I've always said, if the role is good and they play it well, no one cares. Like, Michael Clark Duncan did such a good job playing a kingpin where he can be white and black and no one cares about it anymore.
Yeah. Sorry, that I'm listening to you. I'm just going to let you keep talking because that blender, there we go.
Reminds me of that stunt granny episode, huh?
Just totally distracted me. But, I'm looking at the cast here, and, like, Betty Brant, they kept her the same. Hannibal, oh my god, I forgot Hannibal Buress was even in this.
Me too.
He's a coach, Stanley, of course. I don't know who the hell was Ned Leeds? To be honest, that sounds like a DC character.
He was one of the, I think he was one of the Hobgoblins.
Oh my god. So
he might have been either the first or the second one. I know Bastendo one. I think Ned Lee might have been like the original one. If I remember correctly.
Yeah. But it's funny, I'm looking at Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery from a while ago. He had a lot of blonde haired enemies. Ned Leeds, Flash Thompson, Eddie Brock. Whoops, where'd my thing go? So they're just changing. Like, what did Shocker used to look like? Because he's rumored to be in there.
That's Joaquin Woodbine.
Let's see.
He's playing Shocker.
Well, yes. Well, they say it's rumored to play Shocker. Yes. Or something. Yeah, whatever.
We'll see. So it's funny how that goes. But it's an eclectic cast, and we haven't really talked about this, the set pieces and stuff. Like, you know, Spider-Man has the web suit.
Yeah, he's got the web wings again, for the first time in movies, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, him trying to hold a boat together. Like, the action looks, you know, the action is going to be done well because Marvel knows how to do action. The fact that basically, you know, Iron Man basically being his mentor, which makes more sense, like a billionaire giving him technology or augment his technology than some poor guy going through the dumpster and doing it while trying to, you know, go to physics class. Always seem like, yeah, I've looked through dumpsters and pawn shops.
Yeah.
there's only so much crap in there. I don't care how smart he is. So, and I know it's like people like, oh, we got to get Tony Stark. Yeah, I'm like, people like Robert Downey Jr. And when you put Robert Downey Jr. in Marvel movies, they make more money.
Mm-hmm. Well, they even teased it at the end of the trailer where, you know, Spider-Man's swinging through the city. And then who's right next to him? Real quick glimpse of Iron Man. So, mm-hmm. You know, it was like they had it. I don't know. They had me hooked because it looked like a different Spider-Man movie. Because the high school thing was never explored. You had in the latest two. I mean, they were in high school, but it was still like, all right. I mean, sort of in high school. And then the first one, he was in high school. What, the first movie? And all the other ones, he's somehow living in New York City in this gigantic... Oh, that's right, he was living with Harry. So that's how he was able to afford it, but...
Mooching off Harry.
Yeah.
As he should.
Stealing his girl, killing his dad. Yeah, it's like, all right. And then, yeah, Peter's a dick in that first trilogy. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, like smacking around Mary Jane, using Gwen Stacy to get Mary Jane jealous, gaslighting Mary Jane and Harry, like... You know what? When you break it down, you realize like some of these heroes are not that heroic.
Well, no. Remember, Harry had amnesia, and he was just like, "Cool, I got away with it." Like, I can understand why Harry was pissed off at him. So, wait a second. You just—this was a traumatic event in my life, and I don't remember it. So, you treat me like everything's fine? No. I don't expect you to come out and say, "Hey, you know, this is what we found out and everything," but. Good Lord, you don't do that sort of thing to somebody. It's funny, you kept saying Joaquin Woodbine, and I'm like, who the hell's that? Finally looked him up. It is amazing what a wig and facial hair can do for people.
Yes.
Because he was the best character in the last season of Fargo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who thought he was rising to the top and just ended up on a desk job. Ugh. What was the guy's name that played Johnny Cochran? That's in
Courtney Vance.
Another guy. When you told me that, I was blown away. I'm like, wait a second. He looked nothing like the Johnny Cochran he was playing. Yeah.
The power makeup.
Yeah, man. The hair, because he's bald. Well, so is Bokeem Woodbine, too. So, it'd be like me all of a sudden. Well, dude, when you shaved your goatee.
And me, and your wife didn't recognize me talking to me like I'm a stranger. Oh, it's nice meeting you. I hope Jeremy, and I'm just sitting there just laughing. Because she was like the third person that did that. I'm like, is it that much of a difference? And my wife says, yes. You look about 10 years younger and look like a different person. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's what I'm going to do to somebody. I'll shave this thing I've been growing and see if, I'm sure I'll be easily recognized, but maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to do that, though.
Look, whenever we need to escape to Mexico, we already got a plan.
Yeah. God. But yeah, so. But no, I got nothing good. I got nothing but good things to say about this. And you know me. I made the mistake last week. But I just ignore this stuff now. It's like, whatever. Just complain away. Just make sure she's good. Going back to the Mary Jane part. And even the other person, Liz Allen. Make sure they're good in the role. And I don't think it's fair to say this, but if you're going to change the race, change the background, change the character to where a certain segment of people are going to get upset about it, do those people that you put in those roles the favor of getting the best out of them. That way, that segment can only say they didn't like the character because it was a white chick that got changed to black, Chinese, whatever.
Then it
exposes those people.
I mean, but I get what you're saying, but the fact is, if you have to make that, you should get the person you feel like that's the best regardless.
Yeah.
And if their argument is, I don't like this person, the wrong race, they should already be exposed. That should already be an issue. True.
That's why I said I don't think it was fair to say that, but.
Yeah. I mean, I get why you say it, and there's everything. It's like, you have a good point with it. It just seems what you doing? I know what they're doing, but it's like, what's going on? Like, really? So, but enough of that. We're both going to see the movie. We're both looking forward to the movie. Let's get to what we really got excited about.
I want to see how long we've been recording. I'm just curious about this. All right, so 17
20
minutes.
20 minutes.
About 17 minutes. I don't know where to start. But Sunday, the Fast and the Furious 8... The Fate of the Furious. I think it's just Fate of the Furious. Well, anyways.
You better give that fate in there. That duh needs his weight.
The trailer for the greatest movie franchise running, possibly ever, came out on Sunday night. Was it during football or something?
It was right before the start of Sunday Night Football. They hyped it on Facebook for an hour. And then I turn to watch it on NBC, and all of a sudden I see Al Michaels there with the cast talking for five more minutes, and then they drop the trailer.
And I missed it. So you said turn on TV right now, and it was already too late.
Shame on you.
But to their credit, they already had it on their Twitter account. So, boom, right there. What? It's one of those things, where do you start, man?
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the end of the thing so badly, but we can't. So,
yeah.
Maybe we can later.
Here's where we start. When this movie series first started out, the main stakes of the movie was somebody going undercover to break up, a crime ring where they were still DVD players. That was the stakes. They were still in small electronics, basically like that, in street racing. And now we get to the point where they're in Iceland escaping from tanks and a Russian nuclear submarine.
I had no idea that was coming.
I don't think anyone had any thought that was coming. We've seen stuff they drove through Mexican mountains in the dark, mm-hmm. and it's how you you know, how you top that.
Well, after, Dom drove a car out of the front of an exploding plane and walked through the flames unscathed.
You're forgetting the part where, you know, they dragged around a safe.
Yes.
In Rio, after beginning the movie, they drive off a bridge to escape a train.
Yes, that's right. And then what was it, the next one? Paul Walker? No, that was the last movie. Where Paul Walker jumped from a bus onto a moving car and grabbed the spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah, after, like, we forgot Fast Six, like, you know, they fought a tank. And they drove on the world's longest runway to deal with one of the largest planes in existence. And then, like, they've jumped out of cars. They jumped out of planes and cars to land on mountain roads.
Which was a real effect, by the way. Yes. Which is even more mind-blowing that... Yeah.
You know, like, this is just... And it's kind of like, where could they go? Like,
okay. You said outer space, and I don't disagree with you, but have they ever fought a jet?
They fought
helicopters.
A helicopter and drone. They fought.
All right. Well, we have not been on an aircraft carrier as well. Not yet, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but just the fact that it's funny, like, beyond Star Wars. This is probably, like, not counting, like, Marvel, because that's, like, a universe, not a franchise. Like, connected franchise from the beginning, this is probably the biggest movie franchise that's out. Like, and that is not an exaggeration. That's not kind of, like, you know, hyperbole. Like, it had the most views in the first day of trailer ever. Like, people, I went on Twitter, and people losing their mind, like... They fight a fucking submarine.
Yes.
That tweet about like five different. Like, what can you. Like, it's a submarine. And this, all the other stuff. And not even the fact where we didn't talk about the main part of the movie. Like, it's funny where the thing that's laughed about is kind of like the crux of the movie. Like, it's about family and people sticking together. The one thing you would have never thought of, what if Dominic turned on the team? Because that just seemed like impossible. So when that happens, like, you see the beginning of the movie, and like you see the beginning of the trailer, and you see them working with Hobbs, and they escape that, and then Tej with the wrecking ball, probably murdering like five people. Well, we don't have to see that because, you know, when cars just break, people don't die. So, and they get away, and then all of a sudden Dominic crashes Hobbs, and you're like, what? Like, I'm watching this, and like, it made sense because that's a great way to go to the movie, but I never would have guessed that in a million years.
I know it has to be a reason,
but the fact is, like, you figure like it has to involve, you know, his sister or the nephew, but then you wonder kind of like, you know, Paul Walker's not in the movie. They haven't talked about Jordana Brewster at all because you're assuming, like, you know, they're out the picture.
Well, she's listed on the cast, but that doesn't mean she's in the movie. You know, if they do flashbacks, you know, they like using their flashbacks. So if they show her, she's got to be credited and paid for it. So
I mean, yeah, because they show Gal Gadot in the credits for Fast 7 just because she showed up in the picture.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, okay, which one was it? 4 that The Rock showed up.
No, 5 when The Rock showed up.
Yeah, so Rock and Dom, or I'm sorry, Hobbs and Dom fought. We got a little taste, and they've never gone back to it. So part of me is like, oh my God, they're finally going to give it to us again. Because, you know,
that's one of the like bases. It's kind of like it's a different dynamic because, you know, when Brian and Dom had their dynamic, it was all like big brother, little brother, and it's kind of like, you know, you like my sister, I'm not sure about you, and then it's like, we cool but not cool, and then it got to the point where it's like, it's family, and they trying to one-up each other, but it wasn't like, at the end, it wasn't like antagonistic, it was just like friendly rivalry, but you tell they love each other. It's always been that tension between like Hobbs and like Dom, because it's kind of like, it's funny, like, they kind of played it up during the cast, like, you know, all the stuff that happened, like Rock Instagram and everything, and all the stuff you heard, so you don't know if it was true or fake it like that. It always seemed like it was just a different vibe, like they worked together, but you could see them getting on each other's nerves and fighting, and you saw they had that little fight in Fast 5, and it's kind of like, you know, will they ever go to it? And then the fact where it's kind of like he tried to murder him. He ended up getting locked up. And it's like he has a different relationship to Dom than the rest of the team. To the team, that's family. They've been through like 4 or 5 movies together. The Rock is kind of like, well, I thought we was cool, and then you tried to murder me. I'm in jail. And then it leads to a fact that not only is he in jail, he gets out of jail, and he's working with Jason Statham, guy that killed Han.
Wait, you're getting ahead of yourself, though.
Uh-huh.
Somebody comes and lets Rock out of prison, but says, you got to get out yourself. Oh, yeah, here's this guy to help you. And they're both looking at each other like, what? And I immediately went, this is genius. No one wants to root against Jason Statham. He was easily the best part of the last movie outside the stunts because he was just a force of nature. He just showed up, messed stuff up, and took off. So now you introduce him. So think about this. You've got a movie franchise that has The Rock, Jason Statham, and Vin Diesel. And I know they kind of apparently flipped Statham and Vin Diesel right now. But this is crazy. Statham carries his own movies. Rock carries his own movies. And now they're just players in this franchise?
And not only that, we talked about them. The main villain is an Academy Award-winning actress.
Yes. Well, there's 2 Academy Award-winning actresses in this thing. Don't forget Helen Mirren's in this one, too. They didn't even show her in the preview.
They sure didn't. But it's just amazing where these people that carry their own movies are playing like second fiddle to Vin Diesel.
Yes. And Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris. And then
Tyrese has opened movies by himself. Like, he's been in big movies himself. And it's kind of like, oh, it's just Tyrese. It's just Ludacris. Like, no big deal. It's just Michelle Rodriguez. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, Kurt Russell. He's back again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Kurt Russell's in there, too. Yeah, Jesus. Wait, who else? There was somebody else that was in this. Scott Eastwood's in this. He's not quite as big of a name, but he's still in it.
Because he keeps showing up. Like, he was in Suicide Squad as SEAL number whatever. Like, he's about to be the new what's his face? What's the guy named Jai Courtney? He just keeps showing up in movies until he's either star. People get sick of him, or he finds his role. Like, it's hilarious that the whole storyline, because this is like the first like major villain that came back and had like a role. Like, I know Braga was in 4 and then he popped up in 6, but like Jason Statham was so awesome. Like, if you have Jason Statham, you're not gonna waste him. And then it's kind of like, you know, there has to be something. I know they kind of glossed over it, like, you know, we're gonna work together to take down Vin Diesel. Like, okay, this is the guy that killed one of your best friends. Tried to blow up Dom, Mia, and Brian. Like, that was a thing. And now we got to kind of work together for whatever reason. And when you see them pull up and they harpoon Vin Diesel's car, 5 of them, he still gets like, this is a Fast and Furious stunt right here. Like, stuff you won't even think about, and you just see that, like, it's just amazing. Like, whoever thought about the storyline, like, because it's an awesome, because you always wonder, like, where do you go next? Because you keep, you know, trying to do better stunts and stuff. It's not just about the stunt. Like, people want to see the stunts, but people care about the stunts because they care about the characters. Like, you've been watching these movies since, when did the first one come out?
Oh, it was 1999 or 2000, something like that.
Yeah, so we're talking about 16, 17 years. Mm-hmm. That people have been caring about these people to varying degrees, and it's like, I would have never guessed, like, even if he's been coerced, and Charlize Theron could probably make anybody do whatever they want, because she can play a villain. Like, she's been villains before. I think it's just that she's one of the most beautiful women on the planet, she got a real iciness to us where, yeah, you can see her being this monster. And the end of the trailer, when they working together and Letty's like, how can you turn your back on family? And he kisses Charlize Theron after looking at her. I was like, ooh. That's such a bitch move. I'm like, that's what a petty ass woman would do. Because she's like, you know, she built out like, you know, thing I like about you is that you're an outlaw, but you care about family. Did you ever think you betrayed your family the way you did today? Like, just digging the knife, and Vin Diesel walk around like the damn Terminator and a wife beater. Just face all frowned up, pissed, like, ugh.
I saw that at the end. It's always that one part of me where I'm like, alright, they're going to explain why this is happening, right? But then to know that there's two more after this, they don't have to. So, this is going to... I don't know. It's going to be such a weird movie. No Paul Walker. Vin Diesel's the bad guy. And to solidify it, he's making out with some other chick, even though he just got married to Letty at the end of the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So, beyond the stunts and the special effects, and I am never going to understate the fact that they're getting chased down by a submarine. Mm-hmm. But to see all the characters change around, because I may have missed it, but I don't think you mentioned how Statham tried killing Rock. Remember,
yes.
That was the entire reason Rock wasn't in most of the last one. Mm-hmm. It was because Statham threw him out of a window, right? Or
They jumped out of a window because he threw a grenade at him and what's his face and the Brazilian cop,
who's not listed, by the way. I don't see her.
She got a new job, so she's probably out the picture. And what's her face supposed to be in the movie? Eva Mendez.
Yes, she's not listed either.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah. When does the movie come out? April.
It says 2017 right now. April 14th.
Yeah, that cannot come soon enough.
No.
So, and it's funny where we just, like, look at the stunts and everything, and then the fact, like, why they're shooting, like, when Ron make the joke, why they're shooting at me, like, because they're dropping in a yellow Lamborghini or orange Lamborghini on a damn snowbank. Like, everybody else has tanks and, you know, trucks, and he picks a Lamborghini to drop in the snow. Like, this, and you know what? I didn't even bat my eye. Like, yeah, that seems about right.
Oh, F. Gary Gray. Okay, never mind.
It's F. Gary Gray is directing the movie, yeah.
I thought Tim Story directed this for some reason. So, never mind.
Yeah, and it's just the fact where, yeah. A submarine.
Yeah, can we just talk about this for a while?
Yeah, it makes no sense because they can always just turn sideways because submarines and ice don't have a great turn radius. But the fact that they're driving on snow in Iceland with tanks and cars and shooting at each other, and then it's like all of a sudden and it wasn't no small like Captain America First Avenger one man submarine. It was a full size submarine. It's like, yeah, I got nothing.
The way they shot that, and I'm obviously, you know, submarines aren't small, but they made it look like the size of a skyscraper. When that thing pops out, I was like, I just said a fucking submarine? And I'm like, this is great. And Elise was just staring at me, like, what are you doing? Like, no, I'm sorry, that's no one.
Submarines are large. People don't
submarines
realize
stay underwater. You know, like every submarine movie you see, they come up for air. Or whatever, and then they immediately go right back down. A submarine has never been used to chase a bunch of cars, let alone, as you pointed out, a Lamborghini driving on ice.
In Iceland, yeah. And yes. It's kind of like, I've seen submarines before. Yeah. Those things are huge. So that's probably too... They probably didn't have to exaggerate all that much to have that. Like, those things are monstrous, because you just keep in mind how big and how strong it has to be to have, like, a small... like community that fits on that thing. And normally we think it's like submarines are underwater, they're going slow, and it's kind of like, you know, it's the threat of it. I would have never thought somebody used a submarine. That, matter of fact, the last time I saw something like that was in Resident Evil, and they used a submarine to kind of like trap, you know, to chase somebody, and that submarine was like nowhere close to the size of this one. Because who would have thought of doing, like, having a submarine chase a bunch of fucking cars on ice?
Yeah. All right, so the writers of this are Chris Morgan. Oh, Chris Morgan. It says Gary Scott Thompson, but that's just the based on characters created by. So I guess he's not really a writer.
Yeah, Chris Morgan has been, like, the main writer for, like, the past, all the good ones that's been out lately.
Oh, no. Okay, never mind. Oh, I don't know. I'm confused. But I'm looking at IMDb. And it says Fast and Furious 6 characters, Fast 5 characters. Like, What does that mean? Did he not write it, or was he, or is he just responsible for these characters? But now,
when in doubt, you go to Wikipedia, written by Chris Morgan.
Yeah, Chris Morgan. Fast and Furious, which is actually the 2009 one. He did write Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
And then Fast Five, Furious Six. Okay, so this guy can... All right, Chris. Yeah, sit down. So what's your pitch for Furious Eight? All right. We're gonna take the face of the franchise. We're going to make him a bad guy. And then we're going to have the bad guy from the last one trying to kill everybody. We're going to make him join the good guys, become a good guy, and go against the other guy. And then at the end, well, at least in the trailer, we'll go with the end. And at the end, everyone's fighting, and a giant submarine busts through the ice and attacks the cars.
Make sure you hit that blunt at least three times after every second sentence.
And like, well,
because that's basically...
And like, well, wait, a submarine, ice? Like, yeah, well, they're in Iceland. What? And they're driving Lamborghinis, too.
Yeah, and they're also in Cuba, and they're also in New York. That just kind of, like, glossed over. Like, because it's funny where it's like, oh, we got to remember it's the Fast and Furious, so we got to have one car race, and we got to have some half-naked girls in there. Like, just throw it in. And it's always jarring, like, that's part of... It's funny, like, that's... You can't have a Fast and Furious movie without that.
Nope.
But... There's two things I would state. Like, one, I hope they make these movies until Vin Diesel dies. And two, I doubt it would ever happen. Could you imagine if Michael Bay directed one of these things?
I don't know. Do you think it'd be as good?
Are you kidding?
I'm being serious.
If you just have him direct, don't have anything to do with the script. Like, have the people that's behind it that produce the script and have him direct. Because storylines aside, Michael Bay is, if not the first, like, top three action directors that's alive. Like, he knows. And I was reading about it, like, you know, so I like doing transport. Like, he says, when most people direct, they have like one or two cameras. He has like nine. He'll have a 3D camera, he'll have a camera on a truck, a camera on a drone. All at the same time. Like, that's why he films this stuff, because he films, like, from every angle possible. He'll be in the mud, laying on the ground to get an angle. Like, he... Say whatever you want. He knows his action. His action looks beautiful. Like, it's actually crazy.
This is actually a criticism of him, but he does a lot of slow-mo, though. And I don't think... I mean, there would have to be some sort of discussion. Be like, no, you can't do as much as you want in this. Because, you know, for all the over-the-top topness of it... Fast and the Furious movies don't slow down. You got your sections. But not like a Michael Bay movie would.
I mean, it's always a balance to be found, but keep in mind when, like, the last one, when they drove from building to building to building.
Yes.
Which something forgot about. Like, that was in slow-mo, so you can catch all of it in glory. When he drove off the damn mountain and all you heard was the birds, that was also in slow-mo. So they save it for a good spot. Like, I know it would never happen, but... I would just imagine, like, a great action author like him in that damn universe where it's like, you know what, you can do whatever you want, and you got an unlimited budget. Have fun. Let's let you know. We got the storyline. Just shoot it the way you want to and everything. Okay, we've talked about the movie. We know we want to see the movie. It's the first one that's... And it's funny, like, that's the first one that's had a woman villain as the main villain.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see it. Like, they didn't even show Helen Mirren.
Curious.
They didn't show other people.
I'm biting at the bone to see this one.
I'm saying it nice, like, curious to be, like, kind of nice, like, without saying this is probably my favorite movie franchise of all time. Like, I enjoy going to movies a lot. It's movies that I like. It's movies that I love. There are a few movies where, like, I can't wait to see it. Like, and even above Star Wars, even above Marvel movies, even like John Wick 2. Like, this is number one.
Oh,
like,
man, that's right. Well, John Wick's February at least, right?
It's February, yeah.
So we don't have to wait too much longer.
Yeah, like, it's a lot of stuff coming out between this. That King Kong movie looks batshit crazy in a good way. Like, and it's funny where that's going to be part of the Godzilla universe.
Well, then they snuck that mummy preview out.
That's
which,
there.
Which, who the hell wants to see the mummy? And then you see that preview, it's like, what?
And, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, exactly. Tom Cruise. Okay. Cool. Let's see.
And
it.
Not only that, and the trailer for the next Planet of the Apes, which is surprisingly one of the most thoughtful, depressing, like, I would have never guessed that movie franchise would, like, those movies are awesome, but they are not happy movies.
No, that's
all.
Why I don't go and see them. I've watched them on TV. Like, I don't need to see these things to be, I don't know. It sounds like an old, like, a, I don't know, kind of a wimpy thing to do, but it's like,
no,
oh,
I hear where you're coming from. Yeah.
There's never a happy ending with them.
No.
So,
okay, we talked about that. Now we want to get into, because I want to have a special thing. If anybody who's listened to us, these know, we love these movies. Mm-hmm. We love this franchise. But we never really delve into, like, why and our favorites and stuff like that. So I figured since the trailer was out and we have some time, let's do that.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said, like, going back to the beginning of this, I didn't really like the first one. And then when they would show, like, they had it on TV the other day, and I'm watching it going, I don't remember any of this. And then, and then I actually had to review the second one for the paper. And I remember not liking it too much. And then I watched that, and I was like, I don't remember a whole lot about this. And then I watched Tokyo Drift on TV and thought, this is bad. But I watch this movie every time it's on TV.
You know,
so is it
it's funny
bad?
You say that. No.
But
you know what's funny after you say that? Tokyo Drift is probably the most divisive one. Because I've never heard anyone that's indifferent about that movie. People either hate it or love it. Like, that is probably the one I dislike the most. But I watch it every time it comes on.
Yes, yeah.
And,
for that idiotic end scene, if nothing else. The racing down the mountains, and the way you watch it is through everyone's cell phone. Like, what? And then the whole honor thing, like it's a Karate Kid at the end. The guy tries to cheat, and it's like, oh, my God, okay.
I mean, with Sonny, like, just think about it. You know, to get the honor and don't get murdered by Sonny Chiba.
Yeah.
How the hell did they rope him in?
I forgot he was in it. That's right. Wait a minute. So going back, it's kind of off what you were bringing up. Was Sonny Chiba the guy that kind of started these cameo roles? Not cameos, but, like, Sonny Chiba, to most people, is not a big name. But to people who watch a lot of Kung Fu movies or Off the Beaten Path movies, if you want to put it that way, he's a big name.
Yeah.
So you see him in that, it's like, wait a second. And then the fourth one, it reunited everybody, but there was, who the hell was in that one?
Braga was in there, and that's when Giselle first shows up for the first time. And, like, that, it wasn't any big, the main thing was, like, everybody got back together again. Was the four? It's funny when I look at it. It's kind of like the first one. I remember watching, but it's kind of like that movie's a lot shorter than I remember being. Like,
yes.
I thought it was longer, so I watched. I'm like, this movie's like it's like 90 minutes. Like, it goes from beginning to end kind of fast, and it's like pure 90s and everything. And the one thing that stood out was like you didn't see cast like that back then. Like, it's a very diverse cast. Like, it's Paul Walker and a bunch of everybody else's.
Yeah.
More or less. And it's kind of like you thinking this is going to be Paul Walker's movie, and it ended up being Vin Diesel movie, and it kind of like changed. And kudos to, rest in peace, Paul Walker. Kudos to him. He didn't throw a hissy fit and try to Bigfoot everything. He's like, you know what? I'm cool. I know a good thing when I see it, because Vin Diesel didn't show up for the second one. Paul Walker did. I didn't see Too Fast, Too Furious for the first time until this year, from beginning to end. I had never watched it from beginning, and I was like, it does not. It's funny where it's some good parts to it, it's some bad parts to it. Like, the story just, it's something that's off with the movie, but I still watch it. But it's like something, I don't know if it's like because Vin Diesel's not there, or because it's kind of like the storyline, like the timeline is jacked up, or it's like Tyrese is just such a, you figure out the reason why, he's just angry at that movie. Like, he wants to, like, they, it's funny, he doesn't seem like him and Brian are like friends at all. It's kind of like, it's more like that 48 hours like dynamic where I don't like you and you messed up my life, but we got to work together, but it's because, but to hell with you anyway. And Paul Walker trying to mack on Eva Mendes, it seemed like this, she is out of his league by far. Like, what are you trying to tell me, movie? And then the whole stuff like Ludacris and Devin Aoki and all the side stuff and everything. Like, it's funny seeing them in those movies and then seeing them now, like how much the characters change.
Well, it's also, that was the last time Ludacris had hair like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, me and hair, that was huge. So when he shows up in 4, it was like, wait, what? Who the hell is this guy? Like, well, that's a damn shame, man. You got a look going, but I guess as you get older and more distinct.
Yeah.
But yeah. But then also between 2 and 4, Ludacris somehow turned into a computer expert. Like, he was good with it in 2.
But yeah, all but of a sudden, like a super, he wasn't a hacker. Like,
yeah, he wasn't Oracle or anything. Like, he turned into it.
Oh, not only that, Giselle changed from, oh, she's working with Braga to, oh, she used to be Israeli military. Like, she's like. And I know she, and it's funny because in real life she was in the Israeli military, but I saw 4. Like, 4 is kind of the one that's like glossed over where, you know, it's kind of like, it's because 1, they got the band back together. 2 is like Justin Lin Stark kind of like, you know what? It's not just about car racing. We're going to do some, it's like when we start adding extra stuff. It's like, that's the first, it's almost like they got their, you know, it's almost like 4 is almost like a training for 5. And 4 made a lot of money, you know, considering all the facts. People was thinking, I don't know why they're doing this again. I guess Vin Diesel, the other one, his house foreclosed and blah, blah, blah. People didn't think of like that much of it because Tokyo Drift was like, it was one of those love it or hate it movies, but it wasn't like a big hit or anything like that. So people were shocked that 4 did as well as it did.
Yeah, I'm looking, I'm trying to see what 2 had. Funny, back then in 2002 when this came out, 2 had a budget of $76 million. That's a lot of money back then.
Yes, it is.
Trying to find.
Made 236.
Let's see. Yeah, 236 worldwide, but only made. This is back. It's funny, going all the way back to 2003. Yeah, 3 actually. It only made 50 million here, but overseas it made 109. So it's like, I'm not sure if this is where studios finally figured out. Like, you know, we can, you know, make our money overseas. What was the? It was Fast and Furious was 4, right?
Yeah, and that made, it was a budget of 85, and it made 362 because Tokyo Drift only made like 180 something. Well, so.
But wasn't Tokyo Drift the movie that everyone was like, why'd they make another one of these?
Yeah, because it was kind of like, you don't have Paul Walker, and until you see the end, you don't have Vin Diesel. Like, who is this hillbilly doofus? Why is Bow Wow in Japan?
Poor Lucas but, Black.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not wrong, it's kinda
like,
but
yeah, it's like, compared to, like, think about it. Compared to Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, it's like, nah, I mean, get the money if you can. And but 3 gave us Justin Lin, and 3 gave us my favorite character, Han.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Going forward to Fast 5, they gave it $125 million. It made $626.
Yeah, Fast 5 was the one where I tell anybody, if you're going to watch only one of them, watch 5. Like, watch that one. Like, that's the first – that's the one where people was like – it went to the whole ha-ha-ha, this goofy movie I watched it to. Like, people actually admit to liking Fast and Furious. Is that one. And 1, it's an awesome action movie. 2, the whole, like, it has a good villain and The Rock's in it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, you know, this Terminator hunting them down. Like, it's like the first, and it's, I don't want to call him villain, more like antagonist. It's like the first one's like, yeah, I can see him standing up to these guys because he's The Rock. And it's just, I remember when that came out, and I remember going to movie theater seeing that, and that movie theater was like whooping it up and loving, and not like in, like, you know, ironic way. It's not like they were into that movie. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think that's when it's kind of like it turned, like, from this whole so bad is good and yada yada. It's like, no, this is a good movie and Justin Lin knows what the hell he's doing. And it's just been like, you know, snowballing from there. Yeah. Like, you see that? Well, and then
because I've got 6 pulled up. 6 was made for $788 million.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, we got Gina Carano in there.
why not? So, yeah,
this, you know, and the other guy from the Raid, the one that no one ever thinks about, that was in there. And you know why? And it goes back to Han. You know why I like him so much? Because one, he was like the first Asian character where he was cool. He was like a sex symbol, but it wasn't like he was like mystical or kung fu. Because he really, remember, he couldn't fight. Like in Fast Six, him and Tyrese got the crap beat out of him. But
yes,
he got the baddest girl in the group. He always had the answers. He was laid back. And it was like, you didn't see a character like that. But it was always like this, something underneath, like this sadness there. And it's funny, like I remember watching, it's funny how they did with the timeline.
Yeah, like how they did
three,
that, yeah.
Because three came out, you know, like three came out after all the other ones up until seven. And you always wonder, like, why is Han so sad? Like, you think, like, you know, he's got all this stuff and everything, and you always get like these cryptic answers. And even though that movie came out first, the other ones kind of built up to it. So by the time you get to Tokyo Drift and you saw four or five, and especially six, it's kind of like, yeah, his girlfriend died. So then that's why he's so damn, and he had to leave his, basically it was kind of like, I'm leaving my family because it's too much pain and my woman died. Yeah. Well, so then I gotta deal with this doofus that messed up my car. I don't know what the hell he's doing.
God, I never actually thought about it that way. It's like, I'm just depressed. Hey y'all, I want a Tokyo Drift. It's like, oh god. God.
Why to call him DK? What's drifting?
And here we go, man. Poor Lucas Black, just living his life, making money. But well, wasn't Han supposedly a character in another another movie?
Yeah, he was a character in Justin Lin's first movie.
Okay, that's what I thought, because that's why he was chewing on, was it sunflower seeds? He was always chewing on something, because in the other movie he was smoking, and they couldn't do that, or they wouldn't allow him to do that for the Fast and Furious movies.
So he's like sunflower seeds and chips, and then they brought it up in like, chips, you know, Fast Five, like, you know, I knew you was a smoker, you always messing with your fingers and chewing something.
Yeah.
So
he essentially plucked a character from another movie, put him in Fast Three. We'll just go with three. Screw it. And there we go. And then one last thing, Fast Seven. $190 million budget, $1.5 billion.
Yeah, the seventh highest grossing movie of all time. That was just kind of like, I know it's like morbid, that was timing more than anything. I think it was just the fact that they moved the time and Paul Walker passed and everything like that. Because I knew the movie was going to do well. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be that well. You know what? This movie, this next one, we were wondering like how it's going to do. This movie's going to make a whole lot of money, because there's nothing that's really out around that time that's going to touch it, because it's almost like that whole thing, like, you know what, let's not release a movie around this time because we don't want to get torched. And I was wondering, like, you know, how much money could it make, because it's kind of like, you go so high, are you going to match it? But it's kind of thinking like, the first villain of the movie was Rick Yoon. You know, he's a fine character actor and everything like that, and it was like low stakes. And now you got a movie where, like you said, you got The Rock, Charlize Theron, Kurt Russell, Jason Statham, and Helen Mirren, and they're like co-stars. Yeah. Just think about that. Let's think about that cast. They could be in a movie. They could be in a movie by themselves, and it'd be like a star-packed movie. They're co-stars.
Yeah.
Just think about where that franchise has gone, like from beginning to end. It's just amazing, and like. And they've always stepped it up. The one thing about it is kind of like the first movies, like the villains were kind of like, yeah, like, you know, the first one, he was okay. It was almost like Vin Diesel was kind of like the villain, because Paul Walker, depending on your point of view. The second one was Cole Hauser playing. Why do they always have like Latin villains, even if they're not Latin actors? Like the second one, he was a Colombian drug lord. The fifth one was a Brazilian drug lord. Like the fourth one was a what was Braga? Like they've had like three Latin drug lords.
See, but aren't drug lords like a universal like scumbag villain? Like everybody's against the drug lord.
But so, it's funny, you think about the movies where it's evolving car racing for the most part, and three villains have been in the drug trade. I mean, it makes sense because they robbing gas and they're in like Central America and stuff like that. And you know, drugs are a big thing in there. Like, it's either been drug lords or British, you know, military agents. What a mix!
Oh god, like, I totally forgot about that part. That
because Fast Six, because Luke Evans was basically in SAS, and then his brother with Digimon Hansu playing an African warlord with his own drone and helicopter.
Good
lord.
And then he gets killed off too. It's like, wow. They keep taking all these like fringe actors, like, oh, I know that. Oh, he's dead. Alright, never mind. Don't need to worry about him anymore. But alright. Oh, one thing that I don't know if anyone was paying that attention, they've kept the budget for these movies roughly the same. You know, it's adjusted for time. Like Tokyo Drift was $120 million budget. Fast 7 was $160 million. So
what's Fast 6?
Yeah, well, but what I'm getting at is they're keeping the budgets relatively the same, but yet they're getting a bigger return on their investment. And then also, I don't think there's any movie franchise ever to where, outside of one of the movies, W Tokyo Drift, to where the sequels continually make more money. Even adjusted for inflation, each movie is making more than the last one.
Yeah, like Mission Impossible would have, but the third one, I think, it's funny, like, they've gone, like, the third one made less than the second one and the fourth one. I think the fifth one made the most. Not the one that just came out, the one beforehand. Like, because I figure, like, movie franchises, and those two I always think of hand-in-hand, because those are, like, the weirdest movie franchises. Because one, who would have guessed Fast and Furious would have been one, and then two, Mission Impossible would have been one where, like, every director's been different, and besides Tom Cruise and Ving Rhames, almost everybody else was different except for, like, the last two. And yet, those movies keep making the money it make. Like, just think about, this is a universe where this is the eighth movie. With basically the same cast.
Yeah.
No movie franchise has done that. Like, James Bond reboots after like four or five. And really, the only one that's really been like sequential has been like the last ones with Daniel Craig, where they like blink. Usually James Bond movies, like something that happened in the movie before, it doesn't matter to this one. It's like, it's a brand new adventure. Like, this one has built a universe where they have characters that slide in and out. Oh, like, Shea Whigham was in the first one, and he just shows up in the fourth one. Uh-huh. Oh, and then he cameos back in the sixth one. It's like, if you watch the movie, you know who it is. Otherwise, like, well, who's this guy? It's like, it did the Marvel Universe while Marvel was doing theirs. They just didn't brag about it.
And that's something we've talked about before, but I think it's an important thing to bring up again. These movies are no longer based in reality, which I think is the most positive thing that this entire franchise could have done. Now, I know they use practical effects for a lot of the stuff, so it's like, well, you know, no. What I'm getting at is, and we discussed it already, these are goddamn superheroes. They're in situations that, like, Superman, The Flash, Captain America, whoever you want to put in there, would face. It basically, substitute those cars for the Justice League running away, and a giant submarine from Apocalypse shows up. If it was Justice League, whatever. You'd be like, oh, okay, this makes sense. Well, in this franchise, and this way, it goes back to when you said this is your favorite movie franchise. I'm trying to figure out what would be mine, but considering, you know, starting with four, and I'm going to throw three in there because, well, I watch it every time. This may be my favorite one, too. Because it's so absurd that, well, one, like you pointed out, which didn't occur to me either, the cast is relatively the same. You know, they've had people die on screen, off screen, obviously. But then each one's ramped up more and more, and it shifted focus. Like, one, it was Capers. The FBI, the hunting drug lord in part two. Part three, you got the goofy redneck kid. Part four, the family's back together, and then, or the Justice League, or the Avengers, however you want to put it. and their adventures get more and more ridiculous as you learn. And I'll say it like this: you learn to love these characters.
I mean, you've spent enough time caring, like you've seen enough movies, like you know the people. Like that's the beauty of it. They don't have to spend movies building up the characters or anything like that. They've done that. Like by the time you get to Fast Five, you know all for the most part, you know all these characters. The only new one is The Rock, so you have the advantage of you can just slide in a new person and you can focus on the villains more. Like it says a lot where the later movies have better villains because you spend more time on it. Like Jason Statham is one, like you said, the best part of Fast 7, because one is Jason Statham, two, it's not only a new villain, it's one that already has a backstory built in, and he wasn't even in the movies. Basically, you try to murder his brother, he's getting payback, you find out he's the one that killed Han. I remember watching Fast 6, and we stand at the end, and you see Tokyo Drift, because it's kind of like he's finally going to Tokyo, so you see Tokyo Drift. My wife didn't know, because she didn't see it. It was like dread, like, you know what's about to happen, like they're going to show that scene. But when Jason Statham, I remember we did the show after this, when Jason Statham got out the car, there was a literal like, oh shit, that went out in the movie theater. Like, because it wasn't IMDb, it wasn't in the credits, I didn't see it anywhere online, I had no idea it was coming. Like, that's the first time I've been surprised watching a movie in a long ass time. So when he stepped out the car and he got on the phone, like, Dominic Toretto, you don't know me, you're about to, and the car blows up, the first thought is like, I can't wait to see the next one. Like, well, this was it was just amazing. Like, and he just shows up as like, he already has a story, and wasn't even in a movie yet.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I remember for that one, you told me there was something after the credits. I don't know. I actually texted you. I was like, hey, is there anything after this? And you're like, yes. I'm like, all right, cool. So we're sitting there, and I remember Jason Statham's name getting bandied around about they're trying to get him for this franchise. I'm like, all right, that'd be cool. No idea that was coming. So when he came out, I was like, are you kidding? Like, really? And then that was the end. I was like, oh my God, now we got to wait 2 years?
Yeah.
And then, then Paul Walker dies. So it was like 2.5, almost 3. So, selfishly, it's like, God damn it. But.
And now he's back. And not only, and you think it's like a one and done, like, even though he's in jail. And like now he's back and he's kind of working with it. It's got to be something with him and Charlize Theron.
Yeah,
like it just because it's kind of like it makes sense. And like you don't know Helen Mirren's character. You know what? At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if who shows up. Like if I'm watching this movie and at the end of the movie, like Denzel
That's
shows
exactly
up.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Because they have asked him, and it's hilarious that they had the balls to ask him to be in this movie. And he was like, I was flattered, but it's not my thing. I don't care how much money you got to give him, whatever. Y'all make that happen. That's the fact that they actually asked. Who would have thought? Like, who had the balls? Like, you know what? Let's ask. Because it's not like, James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman. This is Denzel, one of the three remaining. Like, I can open up a movie by myself and make money, and I don't need comics or to play a famous role to do it. Like, and I'm an action star because I got bored. Like, this is still Denzel Washington, like big time star Denzel Washington. The fact that they actually asked him, "You want to show up in our movie?" Who would have, like, when I watched the first one or Too Fast, Too Furious, or any of these movies, I would have never guessed. It's almost like how Marvel can cast whoever they want, and you don't think about it. Like. Yeah. We've talked about Charlize Theron, but we really didn't talk about her being in this movie. How? Mm-hmm. How they get?
It's Robert Downey Jr. In all seriousness, I know when he was signed as Iron Man, it was considered risky. But then all that money, and then all of a sudden he shows up in Hulk, and then. Or I'm sorry, the Incredible Hulk, and then he shows up in Iron Man 2, and then the Avengers, and all of a sudden he's making. Would he make $200 million off of the Avengers or something?
The Avengers or Iron Man 3? Because remember, Iron Man 3, they was wondering like, oh, how will Marvel movies do after the Avengers and anything like that? And Iron Man 3 made over $1 billion.
Yeah. So you got all this stuff, and you see like Charlize Theron, she can make her small movies, and then like, oh, well, I'll get paid this much for Fast 8, whatever.
But just think of, I mean, but she just, like, the last time people saw her, she was in Fury Road. Like, which was not a small movie. And she was the best part of that movie, and was kind of like, she could have gotten nominated for the Oscar, and it wouldn't, like, people wouldn't have blinked the eye. Like, that movie won, like, 5-6 Oscars by itself. And she's one of the few women actresses, like, you know, people go see her movies. Like, she makes these art house movies, get nominated for Oscars, and wins one. She's done genre movies, like, you know, she was in Hancock, she was in Prometheus, even though she was dumb enough not to turn sideways running from that damn ship that was crashing. But, like, I was still amazed when they cast her, because it's like, you know, like, Jason Statham's a star, but he's not, like, a superstar. Like, he's, you know, people know him and know his movies. Charlize Theron is a superstar. Like, she's known.
Yeah.
Like her, Jennifer Lawrence, Amy Adams type level. Like, these the women that's still young that make movies that people go see. Like, it's a small-ass list. She's on that list. And they swung that. I guess, you know what? She probably, like, you know, this seemed like this is fun. I want to do this. I like being a villain. But it's just hilarious that... She's the, and it's a woman villain. Like, they haven't had that before. Like, the main, like, they've had women, like, you know, hench people and everything like that. But they haven't. Oh, and we didn't even talk about what's his face, the long beard dude from Game of Thrones.
Yes, I meant to bring him up earlier and totally forgot. Yeah, who keeps getting checks? Yeah,
because I see him popping up and stuff, like, you know, non Game of Thrones stuff. It's like, he has a beard, he has a great presence, like, on film, and, like, he looks like a henchman. Basically, so they know, you know what, they know how to cast, because it's kind of like Fast 7 had Ronda Rousey and Tony Jaa. It's hench people, it's like hench people. So they, it's funny, like, it's, yeah, I love this franchise so much, and I'm just glad, like, I don't know if they're going to be on an aircraft carrier, if they're going to fight Transformers, space. Are they going to go back in time, have a time machine? Like, at this point, because they realize, you know what, I think we know what type of movie we're making, you guys know what type of movie we're making, why even perpetrate? Let's just have fun and have fun with us. And everybody, like, you know what the hell? All these people saying, oh, I can't believe, you know, Ford Mustang couldn't really do that in real life. Like, shut the hell up.
Yeah, it's like, well, I can't.
Go watch Top Gear. Like, let me have fun watching this.
Okay, how are we on time? Hang on a second.
You should have tell me your favorite character.
Oh, we got time. We're like 20 minutes away. It's funny. When I want to gush about something, I get more restrained. So I thought it was way later. But favorite character in this, I don't know, man. Is it cliched to say The Rock, because it's The Rock?
No,
you're not going to dislike him. But okay, my whole thing is The Rock. All right, The Rock in his 20 minutes of screen time in the last movie. This is what I'm basing it. I mean, I think it's The Rock. And have you ever seen somebody stand up and says, "Daddy's got to go to work," while he's flexing his arm that makes his cast bust open? There's never been anything cooler.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I'm sorry. Except for when he steals an ambulance, jumps it off of a bridge onto a drone without a GPS, mind you, and then takes. And then, oh, I'm sorry. Then, well, I'll say assassinate, even though it's a robot. But,
double taps a drone.
And then steals the minigun from the drone.
To fight a helicopter.
To fight a helicopter. There you go.
And blows up the helicopter with his gun, because Vin Diesel left grenades after flying his car at it.
Yes. So, like, I think a lot of people would probably say Vin Diesel. And, okay, whatever. But, I don't know, man. It's...
No, it's, I can see why The Rock, because you know why? They gave him the best lines.
Yes.
And if it was anybody saying, because these lines are like ridiculous. Like, even the trailer, like, "I'm going to beat you like a Cherokee drum." Only The Rock could get away with saying that without it sounding stupid. Like, The Rock has, he's so likable and charismatic where he can say almost anything and get away with it. Like, they give him, you know, "I'm going to beat you so bad your mama wish she would have kept her legs closed." I remember that line, like, he just gives these badass like these cornball lines that this awesome because come on, like they give him the best lines. He's always cool and everything like that. He walk around with this tight, like he's basically strolling with his arms out like a bodybuilder stands with these tight ass Under Armour shirts. Like he's in the office. Why did he have on a muscle shirt doing paperwork?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then Vin Diesel just walks around with the same voice, getting kind of pudgy, but not really doing anything. He drives fast. All right, cool, but. I don't know.
Somehow, somehow he's just a guy that learned how to drive. Yeah, he can go toe to toe with these military. Like, I remember people talking about, you know, it's funny how I think about like Fast 6 and Fast 7. Like, people were making fun of like how can Paul Walker, you know, stand up to Tony Jaa. I'm like, okay, Paul Walker at least was like a cop and an FBI agent, so he has some, you know, training. And it's like, it's more believable that he could stand up to Tony Jaa. Then Michelle Rodriguez could stand up to like Ronda Rousey or Gina Carano, or Vin Diesel could stand up to Luke Evans or Paul. Like, these are British assassins. He's some guy that used to drive cars.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, and he used to be in. It's fun. Like, if you watch Fast, the first one, and now, yeah, he was. He's rocking the dead. Like, he's still in shape, but he used to be a lot, like, in shape. Mom, he was younger, too. So, like, his face was a lot. It's almost like he ate himself.
Yeah. I always get him wrong. Roman is Tyrese Gibson, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What the hell is Ludacris's name?
Tej.
That's right. All right. I knew it was something different. Charlize Theron is Cypher. So
yeah. It's a movie. Since it's funny you brought them up. Only this movie franchise where you have like heartthrob sex symbol Tyrese play the comedy relief. And Ludacris as a tech hacker.
Yes. Yeah.
For real. Like, you want to sell this to me? Like, and they sell, and it's like, when they explain, like, you know, I had a life before I met you. And let's add, since, you know, they slide Jordana Brewster out, and we barely talk about Michelle Rodriguez, but she was one, like, the original badass broads that was, like, beating people. It's funny where I remember the first one came out and how they... Paul Walker, Jordana Brewster be like the one you think they push, but everybody gravitate toward Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez. Like, they seem more like, they seem like they have more chemistry, and it's, you weren't used to seeing like those type of characters as like love interests on like movies, because it wasn't a thing. And it's like, they've always been the backbone. Even like, she slid in and out of the movies, and kudos to her where she didn't get sidetracked too much or overshadowed, because they have had some beautiful women in these movies.
Yes. And well, cool. Yeah, I mean, that's
a like lot if you of look at like if you look at like Fast 5 and Fast 6, it's kind of like, I've never, like, Jordana Bruce is not an ugly woman, but nope. You put her in a room with like Michelle Rodriguez and Gina Carano's and Gal Gadot's and Elsa Pataki's, just like
Ronda Rousey,
yeah. Like, oh, and what's the face, Natalie Emanuel from Game of Thrones,
yes.
Who,
yeah, they brought back apparently.
Yes, they did. Like, because she did she was likable, and those roles had a lot. I remember watching Fast 7, and like, I did not know she looked like that when she came out, when they was on the beach in Abu Dhabi, and she came out the water. I was like,
well, see that's what was funny, and this is, I saw that in Fast 8 or Fast 7, excuse me, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty sexy, because I've already seen her naked in Game of Thrones. So it's like, you know what? Good job for putting the toothpaste back in the tube, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And still making it like, oh, okay, yeah, this is still pretty desirable.
Yeah,
because so,
it's
job,
funny,
guys.
Like, she's had less clothes on Game of Thrones, but I never remember her standing out on Game of Thrones like that. It's just, I don't know if it's because, it's funny, you take Game of Thrones people out of Game of Thrones, and they just look completely different. Some look better, some look worse, like, Theon looks like a dickhead no matter what movie he's in.
Oh, yeah. That's
John
true.
Wick.
Alfie Allen, yeah.
Because it's John Wick. You see, it's so damn hateable. Jamie Lannister just looks like the coolest man alive, even when he's doing goofball stuff. Like, he's just got that face. But he's got a sense of humor about it. I've seen Lena Headey and other stuff. It's always funny seeing Peter Dinklage, because just for reasons, like, Even when I watch X-Men Days of Futures Past, I just laugh when he shows up with that mustache.
The mustache was very distracting. Yes, that was...
I mean, I know it fit this thing, because you see this short man with these glasses and that suit and that mustache, and I'm just waiting for him to say action like he's about to direct a porno.
it was the 60s going on 70s, so... Fit, but you're not wrong. So
with her, it's always like, you know, she got natural beauty and everything. I never, you know, when she looks exotic, but you put her in like the present, it's like, yeah, keep her. Like, and she's on there. Like, this movie franchise has done a lot. It's done by somehow a convoluted way with timelines have made everything. Makes sense. They asked stuff like, yeah, like, you know, the villain from 4 was working together with the villain from 6 and da 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 da. And like, they had music careers, but the guys from Fast 5, Tego Calderon and Don Omar, like, I miss them.
Okay, what they never even bothered to explain other than one throwaway line.
The gambling, they were in the casinos.
I think that would be a nice touch if they brought them back, even if it was just to kill them. Because they don't. There's no loose ends in these movies. Everybody comes back for something. So, I mean, even Brian's boss, he used those connections to get in jail and get him out of jail, you know? So, like, a guy that you didn't even care about, they brought back. So, but who's your favorite character? You never said.
Oh, Han is...
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Han followed by The Rock. And then Brian, actually, because I think he's had the hardest role, because it's kind of like he's basically the straight man, but he's not the hero. Just think about that. And yeah. Especially in a movie... And we've talked about before how this is probably the most diverse movie franchise out, and they don't beat you over the head with it. Like, it just is. It's funny, like, when they were doing the interview before the trailer drop. And you had Vin Diesel, you had The Rock, you had Michelle Rodriguez, Tyrese, Ludacris, and Lanny Emanuel. Like, you had one Latin woman, and everybody else is black and mixed.
Well, they gotta get somebody Asian back in there, though. Because you don't have anybody now.
You don't. But it's fine. And, like, you don't... Before, it used to be the joke, like, Paul Walker and everybody else. Paul Walker's not even around anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and you think about that, like...
Oh, we got Stace, he had the biggest place.
Yeah, like he had the hardest thing, because it's kind of like, you know, this is a story where you feel like he's the hero and he got usurped by Vin Diesel, but it's kind of like he's always been like the backbone of the movie, because, you know, Vin Diesel basically he gets to be the coolest guy that has all the answers, yada yada yada. That gets boring after a while, where it's like, you know, you're the hero and nothing bad ever happens no matter what. It's harder to play like, you know, the guy that would normally be the hero, but it's kind of like, you know, I'm settling down being a family man after doing all this, but I still miss the action and everything. You know, I'm always trying to one up this guy, but I love him. I'm dating his sister. Everybody's almost related to him. Like, you know, basically Tyrese and Ludacris are in that universe because they were in the second one with Paul Walker. Like, they're my friends from Miami. We're going to bring them in, anything like that. We rebuilding the family. You know, I'm dating your sister. I accidentally got Letty killed and everything. Like, it's a lot of stuff going on that all relates around Paul Walker.
Oh, yeah, and, by the way, I knocked your sister up. We're going to get married now. Mm-hmm. And then, I knocked her up again. And
but I want to, yeah, time for, like, you know, I missed the bullets and missed the action and everything like that. Like, it's funny where he's going through a midlife, like, Paul Walker is almost like the white Keanu Reeves, where it's kind of like, you know, I'm going through a midlife crisis. I miss all this stuff. It's hard. Like, it's funny, though. I got to figure out how to settle down with Jordana Brewster. Like, it shouldn't be that hard. But if you live in the life he's living in that movie, it's understand. Like, you know, we've been dragging around safes. We've jumped off trains and everything like that. Like, it's almost like an adrenaline rush. And it's going to be different with him not being in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to miss him and miss that character. Because this is like the first one where he's not going to be in there.
I almost hope they don't even bother mentioning him, but you know they're going to have to. Because there's got to be a point where someone's got to be like, we got to get Brian. Like, especially with Dom turning on him, they're going to have to mention Brian at some point, which would make any damn sense.
know what? And you brought it up in the beginning, and I know we can wrap up soon.
Yeah.
People assume, like, you know, Ben's turned bad. He's got to turn good then. He doesn't necessarily have to, because you know it's going to be a one after this. And it's almost like if they want to do a thing where it's, like, end on a cliffhanger, I know it'd be crappy, but if you want to do it, this is the movie to do it, where you already know you're guaranteed to do a ninth one.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to wrap everything up in this one. Like, you can tell the story. It's the Marvel freedom. Like, you know you have freedom when you can tell the story the way you want, because you know you're guaranteed at least a certain part. Mm-hmm. But usually it's just Marvel movies that get to do that, and like Star Wars. You never really had a franchise like this that's kind of like, you know what? If we want to end 8 on a cliffhanger, we can, because we know we're going to – like, we know people are going to see this movie, and we know at the very least we're going to have a part 9. And I would have never guessed that this movie franchise would have got to the point where they're able to do this.
Well, they've always – not like your classic, oh, my God, the guy's dangling off the building cliffhanger. But they've always had, I guess, more sort of a hook. Because I mean, even like Tokyo Drift ended with Dom showing back up. 4 ended with – what the hell is at the end of 4? Wait a minute.
No, 4 is just four is that they break Dominic out of prison.
Oh, that's right. They're going after him to get him out of prison. Yeah, that's right. And then 5 ends with the reveal that Letty's alive. Mm-hmm. 6 was Statham. 7.
This is the first one where they didn't have
that's
one.
That's right. That was because they had the poem and all that stuff, because it would have been kind of chintzy to do that.
But
so,
you know what's funny? The 7 was funny. It's kind of like, since of that goofy timeline where 3 happened after 4, 5, and 6, they had to do 4, 5, and 6 to get to the present. And it's kind of like, and now they're like, they're at the present now where they can do what they want. Like, I don't know how the hell they made that timeline. There's nowhere in the world that timeline should work.
It helps that the same guy wrote all the movies, though.
But not only that, it's almost like the way he depicts the characters, especially the ones in the third one, it fits. Like, Han acting the way he acts in 3 makes more sense after you seeing, like, 6.
Yeah,
and,
well, yeah, but that's the right... that I think, honestly, that really helps. It's the same guy.
Yeah.
So he can turn that into something, you know?
But
so,
the character wasn't all that different, though. Like, he was sadder and everything like that, but it wasn't like... Even when you see 3, like, if you didn't see 3 until you saw like 4, 5, and 6, 3 would make sense.
Yeah.
But if you saw 3 by itself, 3 would also make sense in a way with that character. That's hard to do. Like, because I know it's the same director and same actor, but kudos to them where they didn't have to twist a lot of knots to make that character fit. And it's hilarious where Gal Gadot was in that movie. She was like in, like, I remember her in 4, like, oh, this pretty girl that's not... that's not Michelle Rodriguez and not Jordana Brewster. And now she's Wonder Woman.
Yep.
And she became Wonder Woman because she turned down the role in Man of Steel.
What was she supposed to be in Man of Steel?
Zod's woman henchman. They offered to her. She said no. So they gave it to the other girl. And then, but they kept on the radar. Like, you know what? She's probably my favorite woman character. Because usually women who look like that don't play like... She's basically like a henchman. Like, you know,
I'm badass.
I can shoot guns. I can fight. I'm driving. The way she... Oh, that was so sad. The way she basically sacrificed herself to save her man and everything like that. I remember people were crying when seeing that. Because it was kind of like... You knew... You were always wondering, like... Okay, if Han's in Tokyo, where's Giselle? So you're wondering, like, you know, is she going to die, or did she break up, she get locked up? And then, you know, you never see a body, but you assume she's like, when that happened, my heart just dropped, because I'm like, I knew the reason. It's funny with movies, like, it's just a movie, and you knew the reason why they're doing it, but it was like, why? And like, I knew, like, and that's when I knew, like, this movie franchise worked, because it wrote me into this character that wasn't even into the 4th one. And she was like a big character in that one, but by the time she passed, it mattered.
You know what's funny? To go totally off the subject of that, looking at IMDb, they don't give who Scott Eastwood, Helen Mirren, or Christopher. I'm going to say, I'm not going to bother with his last name.
Christopher, the guy
from Game of Thrones. They don't say who they are. That usually means they're covering up something. All right, well, there's that.
You know, it's funny where people, when Helen Mirren was cast, people were going on the assumption that she was like the mother, like Jason Statham and Luke Evans. I would not be surprised by the end of this movie you figure out they're all related. Like Charlize Theron is her sister and Helen Mirren is their mom. And they're like this big damn crime family. Bring Luke Evans out of his coma.
That's exactly what I was about to say. He's still alive, even though Jason Statham decided to blow up his hospital to protect him. So whatever.
What kind of doofus ass logic?
Yeah, I thought that was one of the parts like, wait, what? But whatever, it's Statham. Do what you want. So there's that, but I don't know, man. We'll wrap up. I shouldn't even bring this up, but I've always wondered why actors said, like, Christian Bale, he got tired of playing Batman. And I know, like, that's just the example, but I've read this with other people, too. Daniel Craig doesn't want to play James Bond anymore.
Even though they've offered him $150 million.
But even with that.
And he still said no.
Yeah, but even with that, though, it's like, is that so bad? Because, there's that aspect. I was actually got 2 points, I guess. But, and then the way they, and I think studios have finally figured out they can get away from this, but they basically turned the X-Men franchise into a trilogy for God knows who for Lord knows why. The original Batman, and yes, this is a stretch, mind you, that was always a finite thing. Because, like, well, people are going to get tired of the stories. It's like, well, no. And this franchise kind of proves it. It's not a Harry Potter sort of thing where there's source material. This is an ongoing
franchise. Yeah, you're right. This and Mission Impossible prove if you tell a good story, you can do as long as you want, as long as you have the core. Like, they can do Mission Impossible movies until Tom Cruise gets tired of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny where they brought in Jeremy Renner, like, well, maybe just in case we hedge our bets with Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise was like, nope. And pushed him aside, but Jeremy Renner stuck around anyway.
Because it works.
Yeah, and the same thing happened with the Bourne. Like, you could, and it's funny, like, if you commit to your franchise and you tell a good story, people will come. Like, people will do it. Like, these movies, and it helps that they make a boatload of money, but who would have guessed? Kudos. I hope they cut The Rock a big ass check, but kudos to them, like, you know. We know what we are, and we embrace it. We aren't afraid of what we are. And Mission Impossible does the same thing in a different way. They're more like a... It's funny. Mission Impossible is more like a cerebral version of Fast and Furious. But beyond that, they're exactly the same because they do batshit crazy things, too. The difference is they do them like Tom Cruise is actually doing in real life. It's like, well, Tom Cruise will do anything, so I'm not surprised.
Because it's funny.
Like, I told my wife, like, the last one that aired... playing scene, people do not realize how difficult that is. Like, I guess because CGI, that's what the Marvel movies did. Like, you see amazing things you don't think about because you assume it's CGI. I told my wife, no, he did that.
Seven times.
She's like, what are you talking about? Did that? Like, no. He is on the plane when the plane land, when the plane is flying in the air. He has in special contacts to protect his eyes. That's not a green screen. That's not a computer. He did that. She's looking at me like, What do you mean he did that? I'm like, yes. Why? Because he loves us.
Well, it was funny. It was funny because, like, I told my mom, I was like, no, that was him. Like, that was really him standing on top of, remember they were in Abu Dhabi. That was really him standing up there.
Yeah.
And my mom goes, well, he's just stupid. I'm like, that. I can kind of see why you'd say that, but at the same time, that's pretty awesome. I mean,
he's a professional actor.
Let me finish.
In the term of, he wants people to know exactly, like, how much he cares about his art, and, like, this is me doing this. Like, I care enough about you, and I want to put. And it's funny where it's kind of like it makes him an awesome movie star, but it makes him less of a human being because it's always something, like, unearthly about him. Just think, you know, people make jokes about him running. Most people who run in movies look ridiculous because they are not really athletes. Tom Cruise, you could crack jokes all you want, professional runner. I don't know if he loves running. He knows how to. He knows how to run, and I know it's the joke ain't like that. Like he runs his ass off, and it always looks good. I guess practice ain't like that. Like that takes. I remember seeing the Mission. I know we just jumped off topic, but
that's all right.
I remember seeing Mission Impossible 3 when they're doing that steady cam shot in China when he's just running through China for like a good minute and a half, and it's like a set. And I'm like, he's running while having a conversation on the phone, jumping over stuff, and there's no camera cuts or nothing. Like he's just, and I'm like. This is do people not realize how difficult and amazing? And that's why I enjoy movies. I'm not like a movie snob, but I know I can appreciate when work is put in for stuff like that. Like it takes work to do certain things. And I think what happens with even comic movies, stuff like that, even CGI, it takes effort to make stuff look well. Because if you don't know what you're doing, I don't care how much money you have, how powerful computers you have. Like it's like Moana. They said it took them a year to get the hair right. And like $12 million, like it was like millions of dollars. Because hair is the hardest thing to animate.
Yep.
Like, and they said they tried to like tangle with Rapunzel, and it was like, it was difficult to do that, but it was like just one block. Having like hair that moves individually and everything like that, they said it's something you wouldn't even think about. And they spent millions of dollars on that. Like I remember Uncharted talking about that, like the video game, saying yeah, we spent 6 months just getting the hair right, because it's, you know, it's a PS4 and you know people will see on big screens and everything has to move thing, and like that game looks beautiful. Tomb Raider looks like these movies, like Fast and Furious, I watch these movies, I can see whatever's going on. I'm never like, well, what happened there? And it's a lot of stuff happening, but it's always like you can follow the action.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff they actually do. They talk about, yeah, we practice with the safe to see how we do it. Yeah, we did. We actually dropped the cars out of a plane. Who thinks of doing that? Like, and the funny thing is, if they could have did it with a computer, and nobody would have known the difference if they did it well enough and been all the while. Like, nope, we wanted to look real. You know, somebody would. Yeah. It's funny. Like, the stuff that people say couldn't happen in real life, they actually did in real life. Yes, that was really a tank. They retrofitted the tank and juiced it up to have a real tank riding through that. Yes, that happened. I'm gonna go back when we finish this show, and I'm not even gonna watch the movies. I'm gonna watch like the extras and stuff, like the behind the scenes and everything like that, and just like marvel at the stuff like that, because they deserve it.
All right, harsh breakout, but we could continue. I know we could continue on this for a good spell longer. We got to get out of here, though. Real fast, not to bring up another discussion. Going to see Rogue One tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Fast and the Furious preview on a big ass screen. Mm-hmm. So when that's, and if it does, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyways. If that preview's not before Rogue One, that's going to affect the way I feel about Rogue One. I can already tell you right now.
Well, so, it's competing. I mean, I would assume they would. It's competing movie studios, and so it's kind of like
Wonder Woman before Deadpool, or not Deadpool, whatever, Doctor Strange. So
true, and I would figure like if you're going to do it. Like people know about it, and they like make spectacle movies. And it's funny where. This is one of the, you would have thought Fast and Furious is like one of those big franchises that can compete with like Star Wars and Marvel. Like, because you look at like the top 10 movies like all time, and it's two or three Marvel movies. You got James Cameron's up there a couple times with, you know, Avatar and Titanic.
Yeah, whatever.
And then Furious 7. Like just standing there, and I remember when we did the show. It came out. We talking about, you know, this movie made more than like part 1 through 3 combined in like a week global, or like it's made like it the quickest movie to like, you know, $500,000,
yes.
$1 billion. Like we were amazed like how much money this movie made, and it's like this movie. It's funny, like this movie could make $1 billion, and if it only made $1 billion, people think it'd be a disappointment. Just imagine that sentence. Oh, yeah, it only made 1.2. I would, you know what? I was wondering about that, but seeing how people have treated this trailer, I have a prediction that's going to make more. Because it's funny, it has a bigger footprint, it has more star power, and you know, one thing about the direct, like, you know, they've had the luck of, it's funny where they've had great directors directing these movies, like beside Rob Cohen, beside the original, because it's funny,
John
even
Singleton
too fast
was the second one.
Because John Singleton was the second, you know, Justin Lin made his bones doing this, and now he's the third Star Trek movie blew out, like, that's an awesome movie, and like he, and it's funny, like, I remember we talked about it, you had him, who was basically Mr. Asher King, you replace him with James Wan,
mm-hmm.
and the horror guy who, and his movie makes double, and he's going on, like, you know what, basically, this movie franchise turned two Asian directors, like, we can do whatever we want, like, which DC movie do you want to do, James Wan? Pick one. You can do, they basically said, you can do whatever, pick one. You can do whatever you want. And now we got F. Gary Gray. Mr. Straight Outta Compton, F. Gary, Italian Job, F. Gary Gray. You know,
Friday,
like,
right? He did, yes. He did Friday and Barbershop, didn't he?
No, he didn't do Barbershop, he did Friday. The man who did Friday is doing a Fast and Furious movie, and no one's surprised, because like the last movie he did was the biggest, you know, music biopic ever. Money wise, like, yeah. So it's funny where I'm thinking the action will hold up. Like the story will probably be better because F. Gary Gray knows how to do stories. Like, how did they? This movie series is much better than it has any right to be, and I'm glad it exists. And that's all I have to say. All
right, I had something else to bring up, but I'm not going to. So, on that note, guys, thanks for listening. Just imagine this is all based off of a trailer. Imagine the 4-hour episode we're going to do about the actual movie. So anyways, thanks for listening. Follow us on all, you know, social media, especially the podcast. SoundCloud, look for Stunt Granny, all that stuff. Look for Stunt Granny. Subscribe, you get it every week. I'm done. Stunt Granny, Opa, we watch stuff. Follow Stunt Granny. I'm out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and you should never turn your back on family unless it's a blonde making you do it. We are out.